जय राधामाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जाना बाला गिरी बगदवी गोपी जाना बाला गिरी बगदवी यशोद नंदन बज जन गंजन आ यशोद नंदन बज जन गंजन आ यशोद नंदन बज जन गंजन जमुना तेरा बना चवि जमुना तेरा बना चवि जय राधामाधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधामाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जाना बाला गिरी बगदवी गोपी जाना बाला गिरी बगदवी यशोद नंदन बज जन गंजन यशोद नंदन बज जन गंजन यशोद नंदन बज जन गंजन जमुना तेरा वन छवि जमुना तेरा वन छवि जय राधामाधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधामाधव कुंज बिहारी Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Tiny, mighty, tiny, mighty, tiny, Jaya, ni, mighty, tiny. Prabhupada, 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 Jai, Jai, Prabhupada. Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bolo, Gaura Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaura Hari Bol. Gangi Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivaja Kacha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So in Krishna consciousness, we even protected materially. So Prabhu Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Jagannath in Puri to swallow the storm so there'd be no storm here. I don't know if it's going to come harder, but it seems pretty soft compared to what was supposed to come. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 20, entitled The Dynasty of Puri. It's from 2 to 15, and on the verse is, on the board is 15. So we'll just read the verse and then we'll go back to the 15 to read. Shri Dusmanta Uvacha Upapanam Idam Subhu Jataya Kushika Anvaye Swayam Hi Vrinute Ragnam Kanyaka Sadrisham Varam Shridusmanta Uvacha Upapanam Idam Subhu Jataya Kushikan Vaye Swayam Hi Vinuti Ragyam Kanyaka Sadisham Varam Shridusmanta Uvacha Upapanam Idam Subhu Jataya Kushikan Vaye Swayam Hi Vinuti Ragyam Kanyaka Sadisham Varam Shridusmanta Uvacha Upapanam Idam Subhu Jataya Kushikan Vaye Swayam Hi Vinute Ragyam Kanyaka Sadisham Varam. Mothers. Shri Dusmanta Uvacha, King Dusmanta replied, Upapanam, just befitting your position, Idam, this, Subhu, oh Shakuntala, with beautiful eyebrows, Jataya, because of your birth, Koshika Anvaye,
In the family of Vishvamitra, Swayam personally, he indeed, Vinute select, Ragyam Abhigoyo family, Kanyaka daughters, Sadrisham on an equal level, Varam husbands. I'm just going to read from number 2, and then we'll have a continuation. So the verse number 2 says that King Janmajaya was born of his dynasty of Puru. Janmajaya's son was Prachivan, and his son was Praviv. Thereafter, Praviv's son was Manushyu, and from Manushyu came the son named Chaupad. The son of Chaupad was Sudyu, and the son of Sudyu was Bahugav. Bahugav's son was Samyati, and from Sanyati came his son named Ahamyati, from whom Rodrashwa was born. Rodrashwa had 10 sons named Khteyu, Kakshayu, Standileyu, Kriteyuka, Jaleyu, Sanateyu, Dameyu, Satyayu, Vrateyu, and Vaneyu. They're all choices if you have children. You can all call them yous. Of these 10 sons, Vaneyu was the youngest, as the 10 senses, which are products of the universal life, act under the control of life. These 10 sons of Rodrashwa acted under Rodrashwa's full control. All of them were born of the Apsara name Gritachi. Griteyu had a son named Gantinav, who had 3 sons named Sumati, Dhruva, and Aparigata. Apatirata had only one son whose name was Kanva. The son of Kanva was Midaiti, whose son, all Brahmins were headed by Prakshana. The son of Antinav named Sumati had a son named Rebi. Maj Dushmanta is well known as the son of Rebi. So now we're speaking about Dushmanta. Once when King Dushmanta went to the forest to hunt and was very much fatigued, he approached the residence of Kanva Muni. There he saw a most beautiful woman who looked exactly like the goddess of fortune, and who sat there illuminating the entire ashram by her effulgence. The king was naturally attracted by her beauty, and therefore he approached her, accompanied by some of his soldiers, and spoke to her. Seeing the beautiful woman, the king was very much enlivened, and the fatigue of his hunting excursion was relieved. He was lusty for her. Enlivened means he was very lusty for her. He was attracted to her. He was, of course, very much attracted because of lusty desires, and thus he inquired from her as follows in a joking mood. Oh, beautiful lotus-eyed woman, who are you? Whose daughter are you? What purpose do you have in this solitary forest? Why are you staying here? It's called small talk. Oh, most beautiful one, it appears to my mind that you must be the daughter of Kshatriya, because I belong to the Puru dynasty. My mind never endeavors to enjoy anything irreligiously. Maj Dushmanta indirectly expressed his desire to marry Shakuntala, for she appeared to his mind to be the daughter of some Kshatriya king. Shakuntala said, I'm the daughter of Vishvamitra. My mother Menaka left me in the forest. O hero, the most powerful saint, Kanva Muni, knows all about this. Now let me know how I may serve you. So the purport says that Shakuntala informed Maharaj Dushmanta that although she never saw or knew her father or mother, Kanva Muni knew everything about her. And she had heard from him that she was the daughter of Vishvamitra and that her mother was Menaka, who had left her in the forest. O king, with eyes like the petals of a lotus, kindly come, sit down, and accept whatever reception we can offer. We have supply of Nivara rice that you may kindly take, and if you so desire, stay here without hesitation. Text 15, which is the verse on the board. King Dushmanta replied, O Shakuntala, with beautiful eyebrows, you have taken your birth in the family of the great saint Vishvamitra, and your reception is quite worthy of your family. Aside from this, the daughters of a king generally select their own husbands. purport. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. In her reception of Maharaj Dushmanta, Shakuntala clearly said that your majesty may stay here and you may accept whatever reception I can offer. Thus she indicated that she wanted Maharaj Dushmanta as her husband. As far as Maharaj Dushmanta was concerned, he desired Shakuntala as his wife from the very beginning as soon as he saw her. So the agreement to unite a husband and a wife was natural. To induce Shakuntala to accept the marriage, Maharaj Dushmanta reminded her that as the daughter of a king, she could select her husband in an open assembly. Meaning, you can select me, no problem. You can choose me. Very sharp. In the history of the Aryan civilization, there have been many instances in which famous princesses have selected their husbands in open competition. For example, it was such competition that Sita Devi accepted Lord Ramachandra as her husband, and that Draupadi accepted Arjuna. And there are many other instances. So marriage by agreement or by selecting one's own husband in an open competition is allowed. There are 8 kinds of marriages, of which marriage by agreement is called Gandhava marriage. Generally, the parents select the husband or wife, but their daughter or son, for their daughter or son. But Gandhava marriage takes place by personal selection. Still, although marriage by personal selection or by agreement take place in the past, we find no such things as divorce by disagreement. Of course, divorce by disagreement took place among low-class men, but marriage by agreement was found even in the very highest classes, especially in the royal Kshatriya families. Maharaj Dushmanta accepted acceptance of Shakuntala as his wife was sanctioned by Vedic culture. How the marriage took place is described in the next verse. Om Gyan Timandasya Gyanjala Shalakaya Chakshu Mitam Jaina Tasmai Shigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Shapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rup Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Gam Gam Hare Vansha Kalpataru Vyacha Kripa Sinyu Vyai Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamini Namaste Saswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pachate Krishna. If we compare the life of Gadadhar Pandit, which is today the appearance, and the life of those devotees that you find, especially in the 9th canto of the Bhagavatam, is like day and night. Prabhupada in one verse, or I don't know if it's a purport or if it's a Bhagavatam translation, explained that everything in contact with Krishna consciousness becomes pure and becomes white. Even the throat of Lord Shiva, who is Nilakant, becomes white, and Balaram becomes so white. So if you compare the life of Gadadhar Pandit, which is a life of purity, of transcendental, with the spiritual world, compared to the life of these devotees that we find, especially the 9th canto, which is everyone's falling down, attracted by material energy, is such different types of experiences. And when we are in the temple, when we experience spiritual life, then material life seems very far. Like, for example, if you're flying in a plane, if you're very close to the just when you're starting to fly, the houses become seem very big. But as you go higher, the houses become very small, and the sky and the clouds become very real. So Maya is like this. The more our Krishna consciousness becomes high, more Maya becomes unreal. But more our Maya consciousness is strong, more Krishna seems unreal. So when we're in the temple, when we listen to Bhagavatam, and when we're in the kirtan, so naturally we're so attracted to Krishna consciousness, then all this Maya goes away. But whenever we distance ourselves from Krishna consciousness, then at that time Maya catches us, and then we become very much attracted. Prabhupada gives explains that, like here you see that Shakuntala was born out of Vishvamitra Muni and Menaka. So it's an illicit relationship. So obviously Indra was also lusty, he was scared to lose his position. So he sent Menaka. And because Vishvamitra was doing tapasya, but not in Krishna consciousness, but based on the Paramatma, it wasn't based on higher taste. He still had material desires. Actually, Achyutananda Prabhu says that, Prabhupada says that 3 days on Sankirtan is worth all the 1,000 years of austerities of Vishvamitra Muni. So he did all these austerities, and then when Menaka came, he heard the ankle bells, and immediately he just wanted to go with Menaka. And then who was born? Shakuntala was born. So Prabhupada explains that one may perform so many penances, one performs so many austerities, one can follow the regular principles, but this desire to be purush, or to be enjoyer within the heart, remains. And if we study our hearts, even after many years of Krishna consciousness, at least for myself, I can see that this desire to enjoy is still very strong, or to become the leader, or the manager, or the controller. There's not that acceptance, because Krishna could release us in 1 second. He could take us back to the spiritual world, but that would be useless, because we still would have this desire to enjoyment. Maya, this desire, even though, Prabhupada explains, even though one is being kicked again and again, it's like someone in a boxing game, you know? He's fighting and he's being punched and punched, and at the end he says, I'm the most powerful. So he says the living entity is getting kicked. Even devotees, we get kicked again and again, and we suffer again and again. But still, somewhere or another, this internal, this strong desire of being the Purush is still there within the heart. So in the life of Gadadhara Pandit, it's very unseen, because from a very young age he was a brahmachari and he was very renounced. That's why that when Mukundadat asked him to meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi, when he saw him he was thinking, wow, my gosh, this is a real enjoyer. His sheets are white like milk, people are fanning him, he's chewing pan, and there's also very nice perfume in the womb. So he committed an offense, thinking that this is a very materialistic man, because he was very renounced. He's a spiritual. He's a, obviously. At Nityananda, Advaita, and Chaitanya, I call the worshipable gods. And he's the worshipper. He's the internal energy. He's Radharani. So Mukundadatta understood that, and he started singing a verse of the Bhagavatam, and immediately Pundarik, who is Vishvanu, who is actually the father of Gadadhara Pandit in the pastimes, in Krishna pastime, started jumping in ecstasy and crying and trembling. And then Gadadhara understood that this is such a great devotee, and for the offense that he made, he decided to take initiation from him. So that's another world. But if you study this world, which is our world, and that's why the Bhagavatam is there to teach us, and the Bhagavatam is full of people, you know, having problems, and we have problems, and if you read in Prabhupada's letters, people have problems. Like there's a devotee called Krishnadasi, she was Sudam Maharaj's wife, and she left him for another boy, and Prabhupada said, no, I never said that was okay. But he says that, if she goes back and manages San Francisco Center, then I will accept it. Prabhupada was extremely broad-minded, but problems was there all the time. Like Shakuntala and this king will have one son called Bharat, the famous Bharat Maharaj. He couldn't have his son. So what happened? Well, who was his son? Bhagavat. And who was that boy? That boy was Brihaspati, who is the priest of the demigods, got attracted by the wife of his brother. And she was pregnant. And he still wanted to go with her. And he went with her. And in the womb of this Mamta, which is the wife of his brother, he said, you cannot do that, I'm here. And he cursed the boy, and he injected his own semen and had his own child. And then when the son was born, he didn't want to take care of it. He told Mamta, this is your son, you have to take it. And she said, you take care of it. And then they left. And then he became the son of Bharat Maharaj. So this is the actual position in the material world of the living entity who's constantly attracted, and that even one sense, like in the material world, the animals, they're attracted only by one sense object. Like for example, the deer is attracted by sound. So the hunter creates a little sound, the deer comes and shoots the deer. And then the fish is attracted by the tongue. He sees the worm on the hook and bites it. And then the fly. sees the light attracted by the eyes and burns into the fire. And the elephant, attracted by the she-elephant and the hunters, they pull, they attract the elephant with a she-elephant and they have a big hole. And then when the elephant runs after the she-elephant, he falls into the hole. So, but our problem is all our senses are attracted. So even a man of intelligence, like it's given the example in Charitamrita, what's his name? Bhattacharya? Bhadrapattacharya? Anyways, there's this pastime in Charitamrita where people thought they would see on the lake that there was this light, and they saw it was actually a boat and a fisherman, and people started that rumor that Krishna had come back dancing on Kaliya's hoods. So the assistant of the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, even though he was a great scholar, he was thinking, yes, Krishna has come back. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would tell him, no, he has not come back. It is not possible. He says, no, it has come back. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to smack him. He had to slap him, literally, to bring him back to his senses. Like Kalakrishnadas. Kalakrishnadas was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant. So when he went to South India, Prabhupada explains that the gypsies, they had this way of increasing their population by sending women to other men to attract them. So Krishnadas, who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant, got attracted by a gypsy woman. So he was directly in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still he was attracted, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to come and pull him by the sika and bring him back. Even though he was directly associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he told him, Chaitanya said, I don't need you. He says, I need someone who is peaceful in mind. So the power of mind, we can really see through these verses how the material world is really such a dangerous place. Haridas Thakur told the prisoners in the jail, that you people are so lucky. And they say, why? He said, because you know you're in jail. And they got so angry with him, but he was telling them, at least you know, you're confined. But when people are out, they think they're free. And that's the illusion that I'm not being disturbed. So the shackles, like in the sixth canto, it's explained, when Brahma created the world, he only created man. But then no one wanted to stay in the material world. So he took the better half of the man and created the woman. And then no one wanted to leave. Because the material world is there to satisfy the living entity's desire to be Purush and to free him from that desire. But if they don't stay, where are they going to go? They can't be in the spiritual world. This is not possible. So that is the shackles. It's not visible. But this lust is really the shackles. And we see this in these verses. And Prabhupada explained that because Maya has two different energies. And one is throwing potency, one is holding potency. But one is, it has a diverting energy. The diverting energy is that when you don't succeed materially, it tells you that you didn't try the right thing and you should try another thing. And then you try it and you think it didn't work, and then Maya is saying, again, try this one. And life after life, you're trying something new because Maya is telling you, you never try the right thing. And then when you're enjoying it, it's still illusion that even though you may be in the body of a hog and the body of the worm in stool, you're still thinking you're enjoying. Like when Indra had also went with the wife of his guru, he came and took shelter in the body of a swine. So when Lord Brahma came and told him that, okay, we need you up here now to manage heaven, he said, no, I'm very happy here as a pig, with my piglets and with all my family. So Lord Brahma had to come as a butcher with a knife and to scare Lord Indra, and Indra immediately left the body and went back to the spiritual world. So another spiritual world, the heavens. So this shows us, all these verses of the Bhagavatam, of the ninth canto, really show us how deep, how the material world really, in American, we say stink, it smells, it's smelly, it's really a dangerous and bad place. But because we still have this desire to enjoy in the heart, even though we become devotees, we're thinking, I'm okay. It's not a problem. I'll be okay. Like when you're a child, if you have children, your son's going to say, hey, I know. I mean, especially when they become teenagers, then they'll tell you, well, we were all teenagers. I know what I'm saying. I know what to do. But that's the mind speaking, and the mind, this is Maya. But we thinking, yes, I know, I know. So Prabhupada says that if we are honest devotees, then Krishna will always protect us. But if we pseudo-devotees, if we pseudo-grihasthas, pseudo-sannyasis, pseudo-brahmacharis, then he's not going to accept us. He's going to tell Maya, take him. Because unless we flush out of our systems, flushing means like when you're sick and you drink different things and you flush. You know the story of liquid beauty? This prince saw this beautiful woman and he says, I want to meet you, I want to be with you. And the princess says, come in 1 week. So when he came in 1 week, he knocked on the door and there was this emaciated lady, totally ugly. And he says, where's that beautiful woman? He says, here I am. Because what she did for one week, she took laxative. And she cleansed her body and all the stool and the blood and the urine and whatever. It went into a big pot. She flushed everything. So then when the king came, she said, here, I'll show you what's my beauty. So he showed a big pot like this. So she flushed her body. So we have to flush our body from lust. And that is through Krishna consciousness. But it has to be a sincere attempt with no desire to be pseudo or to cheat Krishna. Obviously, the fall downs will happen because unless one has a higher taste, you cannot stop the desire for sense enjoyment. And therefore, sense enjoyment is regulated and sometimes there will be slippage. I remember in Chicago in 1985, at that time, a lot of devotees got married. A lot of old brahmacharis, ladies, they all got married. So I asked one sannyasi, his name is Ganapati Swami, and I asked him, how come they're all getting married after so long? He said, they slipped. Because in the material world, we slip. Because it's not possible to get free from Maya. It is not possible. It is really not possible. Because even though Maya is the inferior energy, and we are the middle energy, and we're supposed to serve the superior energy, still Maya has bound us. But it has bound us by permission from the superior energy. So when you're bound, you can't get out. It is not possible. So these verses from the even Dushmanta here, he's attracted by lust. And what is he going to do? But at least he's doing it in a regular manner. He's going to marry the girl, he's going to have a child, and he's going to go. And when she has the boy, comes back to the kingdom, he says, I don't know you. He's rejecting her. He's rejecting Shakuntala. He said, I don't know who you are. And then there had to be an omen. And the omen said, this is your son and he's a great Vaishnava. And then he took them. You can see how the lust is so powerful and so covered. And then here they're speaking about divorces because ISKCON's power will be through Grihastha life. Even though we have to preach and we have, but all, let it be a sannyasi, brahmachari, everyone, we all come from birth. So unless we produce good children, we have stable families, and unless we have balanced people, then you cannot make a society. It's not possible. And therefore, it explained here that divorce is not accepted. Actually, Prabhupada said divorce is good. Because when they divorce, they get detached. But he said the problem is they get divorced and they got reattached. So they just divorced once would be good. Then they got reattached again, so the problem. Although Prabhupada was very lenient, there's a story, Shruti Kirti tells the story, these devotees wanted to get divorced. Prabhupada said, okay. And then he was so bewildered, he said, even if I said no, he would still do it. So Prabhupada was very sharp. There's a discussion with Prabhupada and the Sasrup Maharaj, and I think, I'm not sure which are the devotees. So Prabhupada said that when the wife has her child or is pregnant, then the husband should not go close to her for 18 months. And then Sasrup Maharaj, or one of the other devotees, said, what do they do? He says, oh, he goes to the other wife. So Sasrup Maharaj says, but in America, you're not allowed to have many wives. I said, it's okay with me. That was originally, in the beginning. After that, he was disgusted. But, and then he says, but how are you going to do it legally? He says, well, in America, it's allowed to have so many girlfriends and boyfriends. So you don't call it husband, you call it friend. So Prabhupada was very broad-minded because the problem is there. The desire for sense gratification is there. You can see it through the king, you see it through the rishis, you see it through Lord Brahma running after his daughter. It is there. But we have to regulate it through Vanashram Dharma. And Varnashram Dharma means marriage and divorce. And that's what is explained here actually in that verse. So I just wanted to touch, because that didn't speak so much, but on this importance of these, understanding this whole canto, which is the danger that we actually in the problem is we're not feeling in danger. I know I don't feel in danger, I think I'm okay. But actually, at the moment I don't feel in danger, this is when Maya jumps. And she's jumping because she's testing, because she doesn't want us to go and bother Krishna. But at the moment we say, Maya, hey, I'm finished, Maya will actually help us to come to Krishna. She'll be from Maya to Yoga Maya. So today's also the appearance of Garuda Pandit, we told one past time. He was explained also to be the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda was also explained to be the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mother Sachi always told Garuda to please take care of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had all these ecstasies. And one day Garuda told him, Chaitanya was looking, where's Krishna, where's Krishna? He said, he's in your heart. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so crazy, he just wanted to rip his heart open. So she saw how Garuda could actually appease him. Garuda Pandit was a great devotee, he's the internal energy. He's the energy of his Gararani, and in that pastime. And he was the very close companion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's actually a very good day. We can see the difference of worlds. I mean, if you really think the pastime and the life of these devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how in the Bhagavatam there's so much entanglement. And think about it. The Bhagavatam is full of people having problems. Because it's us. If these people have problems, we have problems. But the only way to do it is to do what they're doing, is to gradually take shelter. Like Yayati, after thousands of years of enjoyment, he came to his senses. So it's not necessarily intelligence. I mean, the real intelligence is to hear about it and understand it. Like, for example, I had two of my wisdom teeth out. It was very painful, some way or another, and some food got stuck. So that was really painful. And I had one realization is when I was seeing people eating, I was thinking that I don't want to eat. I wanted to eat. But the fear of the pain was stronger than the desire to eat. And I was thinking, that's pretty convenient if I had that spiritually, if the fear of the reaction of sense enjoyment was stronger than my desire for sense enjoyment. Because when we engage in illicit enjoyment, then obviously there'll be heavy reactions. So in the same way I was thinking that I'm so fearful, like for 3 weeks I didn't eat. I just took lassi. But I wasn't, even though I was hungry, I didn't even try to eat because I was so scared. So if I would be scared of illicit sense enjoyment by the fear of the reaction, that would be incredible. Because then I could give up. And that's a level of realization. We have to have that level of realization. There was a question yesterday in the Russian class, they asked, how do we think of Krishna when you have pain? Because it's very difficult to think of Krishna when you have pain, because the pain is stronger than our Krishna consciousness. Now, if our Krishna consciousness is stronger than the pain, then we can think of Krishna. Like Prabhupada, they say that his pain was so strong that a normal person, he would be shouting. He would be shouting in pain. But his Krishna consciousness so incredible that till the last moment he was translating the Bhagavatam. Even Brahmananda Prabhu gives the story how he got sick a little bit, some cold or something, during Prabhupada's when he was on his deathbed. And when he went to see Prabhupada, immediately Prabhupada asked him, how are you doing? You were sick. He was amazed how Prabhupada on his deathbed could think of him. So the answer to the question yesterday, how you can think of Krishna when you have pain, is we better start practicing now when we don't have pain. We better get going and practice seriously. So we have to remember these chances, these moments of Krishna consciousness, so when Maya comes, and we always have to put ourselves in a safe position. When I was staying up as a brahmachari, I could never go to the store alone. We had to be two brahmacharis. Two people, because Maya could attack you. Now we do everything, we put common clothes, we go there, we don't care, we think Maya will never attack. So anyways, these are points of my realization. So any questions or comments? Yes. Any mic? Yes, Mother.
A Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I just want to clarify, did I understand correctly that you said that Prabhupada found it okay if a married person had a girlfriend?
Actually, Prabhupada allowed in the beginning people like, there's a devotee called Dhammatma and other devotees, he allowed them to be wives, but after that he got disgusted by the divorce rate. But yes, there's a conversation with Ashwarupa Maharaj, what Prabhupada said, because he explained that there's more women than men, and we have a problem in our society, definitely, of marrying with ladies, so that a man who would take care of them properly, not just enjoy, he would take care of them, then the program of having many wives was acceptable, but obviously it's not accepted in the West, and it didn't work very well in ISKCON either. But yes, there is a conversation. It doesn't mean we should do it. But I'm just showing how Prabhupada is so broad-minded. It's like there's a conversation with, I forgot his devotee's name in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada said, you should have a kitchen just for life members to make tea and coffee. I said, why? And he said, it's okay, it's not so bad, and there were guests, and you know, we should take care of them. Doesn't mean we take tea or coffee. But Prabhupada was very broad, like when for Krishna Dasi, I read this letter this morning, he's actually telling her, okay, but if you go back to San Francisco, you can keep the boy. It's like, you know, Prabhupada is very broad-minded for Krishna consciousness because he knows that we have problems. And that's why we have to be soft with each other. Because if you look at the Bhagavatam, people are falling down. We see a lot of people falling down. So the only way for us to be able to advance is through devotee care. We have to care for each other and help. Because what will make us surmount Maya is the love. The love for Guru, the love for Krishna, the love for the devotees has to be stronger than the love of Maya. So when we're in a loving environment, like the child, when he's nurtured properly and he drinks milk, you know, he's nurtured, he's breastfed, then he feels very strong, he feels very satisfied, he feels protected. The devotee has only one protector, and that's Krishna. He has to feel like this in any circumstance. Like Prahlad, he had no doubt. He threw, because he saw Krishna, there was no Maya, there was no desire to control. He understood his position. He didn't want to be something else. Like the child cries, I want milk. He knows the mother's coming. I want this. The mother's changing. He has no other world than the mother. Walking on the street, the child has fear. A dog is coming. He holds the hand of the father. Immediately the fear goes away. Because they see the father. It's like in a mall. I was giving the example yesterday that when the child is running and getting lost in the supermarket, immediately the child starts crying, where's my mother, where's my father? And immediately when he sees the mother and father, immediately the fear goes away. So the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam describes that bio-fear means losing track of Krishna. Like the child lose track of the parent. So we lose track of Krishna and we're fearful, where am I going to eat, where am I going to sleep? But these are animal propensities. But Prahlad never lost track of Krishna, so he understood his position as a servant. And even though he may be given poisoned or he may be put in the fire, he doesn't lose track of Krishna. So the fear is not there because he understands his position. But Maya catches us when we, and Prabhupada says, when we give up the hand of Krishna, and that hand of Krishna is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So somehow or another, and it's very difficult, I find it very difficult, we always have to chant. I gave that story, I don't know if I gave that story last time here, but Prabhupada gives an example how when he was giving one of his assignments to one of his teachers in Scottish College, and the teacher told him in instruction that if you want a good mark, you should go for the higher mark. If you go for 60, you'll fail. If you go for 80, you'll get 70. So he said, if we want to chant attentive rounds, 16 attentive rounds, we should chant all the time. And then when you chant all the time, because the mark is high, you'll be able to chant 16 good rounds. But the process is there. But at the same time, the dangers are described there because the lust is so strong. So what we do is, it's not that we practice and we have no desires. Like another question yesterday was, how do we think all the time of Krishna? It's not possible. I chant 5 minutes and my mind's everywhere. And I was explaining when in 1990, ISKCON started the ISKCON Foundation. It was a way to try to professionalize ISKCON. And at that time, there was a whole morning discussion, very senior leaders, Jai Advaita Maharaj, Vajinayan Maharaj, very senior, and the whole discussion said, what do you do when you're chanting your rounds and all these things are coming in your mind? So it is a problem. So yeah, we cannot think of Krishna all the time, but we can do our duty. And while doing our duty, material desires will be there, but because of doing the duty, material desires will become purified. So we're not at the stage of thinking of Krishna 24 hours, but we are at the stage of duty. The duty means you're married, you don't divorce. The duty is you go to Mangalati. The duty is you chant your rounds. The duty is you treat senior devotees properly. Your duty is you do things properly. Prabhupada wanted us to do things properly. Your material desire is there? No, my duty is this. And the Bhagavad Gita is just duty. Duty, duty, duty. And the Bhagavatam takes over showing how to perform that duty. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita goes beyond how when you perform your duty and you come to the stage of ecstasy. Like that. Any other questions or comments? Yes, you cannot prove.
I was reflecting on that story that you mentioned with the Chuttananda saying,
we think it gets hard, but I mean, compared to having to stay in water for 60,000 years, whatever they were doing, or offering thousands or millions of dollars or whatever, you know, in ghee to make sacrifice, and all we have to do is chant 16 rounds, follow principles. That's all we have to do. That's all we have to do. It's so difficult, because our mind is so low. Patita Pavan, I'm the lowest. Take me. Actually, in Kali Yuga, the lower you are, the more qualified you are. That is the qualification, to be fallen. But I'm the most fallen. So that's a qualification. So it's a blessing, because you can do what they were doing in lifetimes, you can do in one lifetime. But Prabhupada also says that if you don't perform your devotional service properly, one mistake, one fall down could mean that thousands of lifetimes in between. It's true, we're devotees, so as long as we're devotees, we're not supposed to take animal birth. But we have examples of Jad Bharat and Shri Ketu, one lifetime and then they went back. But we have to realize how lucky we are. But the problem is, the example is given that they're selling diamonds, you know, and at a lower price. But generally when someone sells you something at a lower price, you think it's bad. So someone says, yeah, it's so easy, take this. No. You tell people to chant, and they don't want to chant, and that is the jewel. But still, after so many years, I see myself not attracted to chanting, because I'm harboring material desires. It's like it's explained in a lake, there's so many bamboos, and then the bamboos are taking the water. So because there's material desires, whatever I'm doing is being drank by material desires. And that's because of lack of faith in my guru and instructions. If one doesn't have faith, then how we will advance? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yes,
we all trying to...
Prabhupada told the Sankirtan devotees that even if you don't think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forces his mind in your, himself in your mind. The thing is, don't try to purify, just do what you have to do. And naturally the heart will get purified. Because we can't do it. But if you serve your master with love and he sees you struggling, it's like your child's trying to walk, you just want to help your kid. It's not because he's falling down, you're rejecting your kid. No, he's trying to walk. So imagine, after millions of lifetime, you're coming to Krishna and you're saying his name. Krishna is amazed. He's incredible. Oh my gosh, he's saying my name. I've been waiting for him for billions of lifetimes. He wants us to come. The problem is us. So if we dedicate ourselves to Krishna, if we dedicate our heart, definitely he will do a miracle. It will happen. He will purify it. Actually, Giriraj Maharaj told me once that he had two disciples who passed away in the 90s, and he saw, according, you know, there's eight stages There's 9 processes, 8 stages of advancement. And he was seeing how within these disciples, they were jumping these stages very quickly. So we have to have faith in the lotus feet of the Lord, like Prahlad Maharaj. The lotus feet of the Lord are our only shelter. I'm speaking like this, but I don't have much faith. But we have to have faith. And if we serve Krishna and the Guru, we can see miracles will happen. And last time I gave, what's his name? Surab Swami, Surab Prabhu, who built Vrindavan, Bombay. He was 30 years out of ISKCON. But what happened at the time of death? Went to Vrindavan, Nishinganda called him to LA for Prabhupada Murray, went back to Vrindavan and left his body. Because Prabhupada was pleased with him. We have to please. Don't try to attract Krishna's attention, but don't try to see Krishna, but attract his attention. So I think, yes. But it doesn't mean we don't work. It means we have to do our duty sincerely, and then Krishna will take care of the rest. Janivas Prabhu, Pankaj Jani Prabhu, is it right? Yes? Okay. Making sure I'm not making a mistake. My speculation, the mind loves to speculate. It satisfied our desires if speculate in a certain way. Any other comments or questions? Yes, so last, it's 9 o'clock. Can you give the mic?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you were telling about the pain and our advancement in Krishna consciousness.
Pain?
Pain. So many times we are diseased, we are in ICU, we are not able to tolerate the pain. So is it that we should keep on tolerating the pain and concentrate more on the holy name?
That's definitely the goal.
Because through holy name, through the pain, we can feel little separation from the holy name. So does that mean separation gives more advancement in chanting the holy name, or the pain gives the...
What's your question?
Physical pain forces you to advance in holy name and Krishna consciousness, or does the separation, like the...
Separation will take time, no? You mean separated from Krishna?
Yeah, separate from the holy name, and how does we differentiate the pain and the separation?
I don't understand what you're saying, but Mother Jadurani, which is this famous actor, painter, told me once that when she was sick, she realized that there's two ways to look at it. Either be angry with it, that I'm sick and I can't do nothing, or think that now Krishna is forcing me to become closer to him and try to serve him in my mind and advance spiritually. So pain, actually, unless we suffer, we completely humiliated, we're not going to get out of here. Because we're so proud. So Krishna has to humiliate us to come to the point of, okay. Because we're still thinking, I'm push, I'm controlling. We'll keep a little bit on the side, you know? So pain is definitely helpful to realize. But the problem is when you have pain, it's very difficult to chant because our Krishna consciousness is very low. So yeah, we have to chant. And when you chant, your pain will go away because you're actually identifying with the soul and the soul has no pain. The only thing, reason you have pain is because the soul is identifying with the body. But when the soul doesn't identify with the body, the pain is not there. I'm not sure I'm answering your question. Anyways, you have to chant whatever happens. And pain is definitely helpful to think of Krishna, because that's why Queen Kunti, she said, give me more trouble. More trouble I have, the more I remember you. And we're thinking she's a crazy lady. Who wants more trouble? But she knows, I want you. And if I don't have trouble, I forget you. So better I have trouble so I can remember you. So pain, yeah, helpful. Make sense? Thank you very much, August Prabhupada. Thank you.